Rashi in this week's parasha, on the first pasuk, Ve'ela mishpatim asher tasim lefnehem. So amongst the halachas that he quotes are lefnehem velo lefnei goyim. It's from the Mechilta. You're not allowed to bring a dispute that you have with another Jew in front of a non-Jewish court. Even if you know that in a particular halacha, they adjudicate the exact way that Choshen Mishpat does, you're still not allowed to. Don't bring it in their arkaos, their courts. That's the term that we refer to, the Isser arkaos. Someone who brings a case with another Jew who's tovam to a Beis Din Shel Goyim is mechalal shem shamayim and is miyakir shem alilim, miyakir shem avodah zarah. Shenemar ki lochet surenu suram va'oyvenu pilivim. Because when you go to their courts, you're showing that basically it's an ilui. It's a shevach. I go to the court of these ovdei avodah zarah. Now, the Rambam, the way it's presented here at least, is that the issue seems to be a little bit tied to avodah zarah. What if it were a secular court? But the truth is the Rambam writes, and it's quoted by the Torah and the Mechaber, in Choshen Mishpat, I think Simin Chazayin or so, Kol hadon b'dayanei akum, uva'arko shalahem, afa pisha hayu dinen k'dinei Yisrael, hareze rosha, uche'ilu chireif begideif, ve'hebrim yad b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. It's he has blasphemed and has raised his hand in disobedience, in rebellion against the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu. Shenemar, Ve'ela ha-mishpatim asher tasim lefnehem, ve'lo lefnei akum. Lefnehem. Well, you're not allowed to bring it in front of Goyim. And that's the Psach Halacha. And that is the din. Not everybody knows that, but you're not allowed to go to Arkaos with a din Torah with another Jew. Unless you have situations where if the other person refuses to show up or obey the Beis Din, so the Beis Din may give you a heter Arkaos. Why is this the case? Why is this the case? After all, when it comes to many areas of Choshen Mishpat, two parties can modify the din based upon contractual agreement. Everybody, all the Tanaim, it's a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, but we pass like Rabbi Yehuda that Hamas Namasha Kasa B'Torah B'Davar Sheva Mamon to know Kayim. Now there are a couple of areas that are not, it's not relevant to. Ribis is Isser V'Heter, that's true. But and Yerusha is automatic, so it's not subject, it's because it's not done by the parties. It's automatic that when a person dies, his or her assets are distributed the way the Torah says. It just happens in the Mela. You want to give it away, you give it away before you die. And Shemitah. You know, Shemitah, you can get around, forget principle, but but Tanaim, depending on how you formulate it, may or may not work. But bottom line is, most of Choshen Mishpat, most of Parshas Mishpatim, is subject to the agreement or modification of the parties that are involved. So why is this so significant? So I think that the answer to this question is that Parshas Mishpatim and Choshen Mishpat generally are a repository of Torah, of values, or the way we look at the world. The Torah has an idea of justice and an idea of economic justice. It has a particular perspective. And to go to a non-Jewish court, which fundamentally does not adjudicate within that framework, it doesn't matter if one particular din is the same, constitutes essentially a denial of the centrality of Parshas Mishpatim to a Torah Weltanschauung. You and I are engaged as individuals in a single contract. We want to modify the terms? Okay, that's fine. But the idea that we can simply abrogate Choshen Mishpat because we'll go to this Beis Din, which operates under different rules of the court, under different rules of law, under different assumptions, default assumptions of the parties involved, which they work with their defaults, that is not just a particular din being changed, that represents a bittul of the system. represents a bittul of the system. Parshas Mishpatim, and true for all of Torah, but Parshas Mishpatim is a repository of Jewish values, of Torah values. And that's not subject to modification. To individuals, yes. But not going to a Beis Din Shalach. It is very, very important in talking about Torah in the public, anywhere, in the public sphere, that one not distort what Torah has to say. There is a passage the Gemara has in Bava Kamma about a very thorny Mishnah of issues with Jews and non-Jews. And the Gemara tells a story that the Malchus HaRishah sent two officers to Eitzel Chachmei Yisrael and said, teach us your Torah. And so they did. The Marshal Niyamshal Shlomo says, you're only allowed to do so under my teach Gayim Torah under Hechreach Sakanas Nefashas. Okay. And then they taught them all the dinim, and then the two officers said to them, everything in your Torah is wonderful, diktatnu b'chol Torah seve emesu, except for this one din. But they said, we're not going to tell the Senate, we're not going to tell the Roman Senate about this din. We don't want to make life harsh for you. So the Yamshel Shlomo writes, the guy may ask you about a particular halacha and you can't sort of escape and slip out of it to avoid answering it. You're not allowed to distort what the Torah halacha is, even in the threat of danger to life. It's often quoted as Ziyuf HaTorah. The Marshal says that you're not allowed to distort what the Torah says, what the Torah stands for, you're not allowed to distort any aspect of Torah, even because of Sakanas Nefashas. If you're not allowed to distort what Torah says because of Sakanas Nefashas, it's a kavachomer that there's no other possible reason in the world can justify it. Which leads me to another piece in this week's parsha, which is V'shochad lo sikach, ki ha'shochad yaver pilchim b'yisalef devrei tzadikim. Torah says you're not allowed to take a shochad, you're not allowed to take a bribe. In a technical sense, the bribe refers to a judicial context. I'm adjudicating a case, one party gives me a bribe, that's prohibited, because it distorts people's judgment. But the truth is, shochad distorts people's judgment everywhere, not just when you're a formal dayan. The Gemara in Ksubos in the 13th parak on Daf Kuf Hei tells a whole series of stories about Amoraim or Tanaim who removed themselves, who abstained from engaging in recused themselves from judging a particular case because of the tiniest thing that somebody did to them. So the Gemara tells amongst the stories that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosei, his Aris, used to bring him every Friday, every Erev Male Shabbata, a basket of fruits from the field. I mean, he's entitled to it. One time, he brought it to him on Thursday. So he asked the Aris, the sharecropper, why today? He says, oh, I have to have a din Torah today with someone else, and I figured once I'm coming to you, I might as well just kill two birds with one stone, save myself the trouble. So he refused to accept the fruits, and he said, Pasil Lelof Levina. I'm not accepting them, and I can't judge the case. So he had a couple of other chachamim, of a student, the Rabbanan, deal with the case. So he's sitting in and listening, and he's listening to his Aris's case, and he's saying, oh, wait, why doesn't he say that? Well, he doesn't say it. He's thinking, Ibai Tain Hachi, Ibai Tain Hachi. Right? He's thinking, how can he win? He's rooting for him. He's rooting for him. And then he finally says, he doesn't say a word, they should explode, or whatever, their nefesh should blow up or something. Of those who accept shochad. I didn't take the basket, I refused to accept it, and if I had accepted it, it really belongs to me. It's not something that I'm entitled to. And nonetheless, it's already distorting my judgment in the case. I'm already rooting for him. sitting like this, sitting like that, if you actually accept Shochat, Allah has kama v'kama. Gemara has other stories where someone shoots a bird off the person's shoulder, he says, Tasur malach v'dinah. Like, trivial things. Because when something does even a little nice to us, it just distorts our judgment about them. We don't want to see them in a certain way because they've done something nice to us, so we're malami tzuchus, and sometimes that's terribly wrong. But it's a kal v'chomer ben menosha kal v'chomer when people take money. You have organizations in this world that hire intellectuals to work on things, and I don't want to suggest that an intellectual can't have their opinion independent of the money they're being paid. But in the process, amazingly, they seem to come up with visions of Torah that conform more to the funders than to anything that's actually found in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And I suspect that people like that tell themselves that really they're seeing the MS. But when I look at that and say, how can you write such things about Torah? How can you cherry pick a detail here and a detail there and not realize that you've missed most of the trees in the entire forest? So the teretz is, v'shochad lo sikach, ki ha-shochad yaver pichem v'salet v'rei tzadikim. Parashas Mishpatim is about Torah values, is about the Torah's perspective on the world, of how we're supposed to construct a society that's economically just. That is what Parashas Mishpatim, that is what Choshen Mishpat is about. But it requires genuine study, not just picking a sifir or a sifter or a sif another place to construct a world philosophy that already conforms to what you think, and even worse, what someone is paying you to think. And hence, I think one understands the chomer of the Isser Arkos Shogayim. Because Arkos Shogayim is not just, I didn't go to the basin, not just I gave Kapta Avodah Zarah. It reflects a fundamental distortion and rejection of Torah values. That when two Jews, at least, are engaged with one another in Dine Mamanos, so it has to be adjudicated by a Beis Din whose entire system and entire perspective is informed by the values of this week's parsha. Shabbos.